Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, everybody. You've just tuned into The Block with Bryson Warden, broadcasting live on Frequency 101.7 CIVL-FM, going out to the Fraser Valley and surrounding areas from the University of Fraser Valley's Abbotsford Campus, Student Society Building, based on the unceded traditional territory of the Stolo people. Today it is April 8th, 2024, and we've got a special episode for you and some more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as I take you over first to the newest release coming to you from Vampire Weekend. This is their cut, Mary Boone. Hope you guys enjoy this one, and I will see you on the other side of this and some more tracks as well. Here we go.
Faded wild, knowing time, you weren't hiding, but I was looking in those days. My working day came in from Jersey, not from Brooklyn. It all in vain. We always wanted money, now the money's not the same. In a quiet moment at the theater, I could hear the train. Deep inside the city, your memory remains. Mary Boone, Mary Boone, I'm on the dark side of your room. Mary Boone, Mary Boone, well I hope you feel like loving someone soon. Cooking in those days, the burning days, the one from Queens, not from Brooklyn. Oh, my love, was it all in vain? We always wanted money, now the money's not the same. In a quiet moment at the theater, I could feel your pain. Deep inside the city, your memory remains. Mary Boone, Mary Boone, I'm on the dark side of your room. Mary Boone, Mary Boone, will I help you feel like loving someone soon?
Okay, so that was Vampire Weekend off of their latest Only God Was Above Us, and it's the cut Mary Boone. This was released this past Friday, April 5th. So this one was a highly expected record from a lot of people, following up Father of the Bride back in 2019, right before actually the pandemic, and well, not right before, there was a year and stuff, but I remember it was a little bit of a long period between Modern Vampires of the City and then Father of the Bride being released there. So people were really excited for that one originally when it released, and it kind of released to a little bit more of a lukewarm reception compared to what Modern Vampires had received back in 2013, being well regarded as one of the best albums of that entire year, also one of the highlights entirely of their discography. So Only God Was Above Us is kind of following up in that kind of scenario there, and it's definitely received a little bit better of kind of a commercial reception and a little bit more kind of positive talk and stuff from what I've seen compared to Father of the Bride. For one thing I noticed is that it's a little bit more of a leaner track list, Father of the Bride being about 15 tracks, or sorry, yeah, about 17 tracks there, compared to this one here, which is only about 10. And again, Father of the Bride running at about 58 minutes compared to the 47 minutes for Only God Was Above Us here. I'm making the comparison to Father of the Bride because, like a lot of the things that I find that I'm enjoying, I was a little bit different compared to a lot of people's other reception because I really enjoyed what Father of the Bride brought to the table. Tracks such as This Life with Daniel Heim alongside We Belong Together, which directly features her, Flower Moon and Sunflower with Steve Lacy, and of course Unbearably White alongside a couple other tracks like 2021 were really fantastic. And again, Harmony Hall being the lead single for the record was an absolutely beautiful track and probably one of my favorites from Vampire Weekend. So when they were releasing kind of tracks for this one here, Only God Was Above Us, I saw the wide critical and commercial reception, tracks such as Capricorn or even Gen X Cops, which we played on the program here when they were first released, alongside a few others like Classical and even this track as well, released as a single previously. But again, I just wasn't really finding a lot of favor with what was released, aside from this track here, and again, the aforementioned Gen X Cops. So listening to the entire record from cover to cover, I really found something to enjoy here, I think. But I do think that it's not as ephemeral and fantastic, I think, as other people are making it sound to be. It's really great. Like, I think that they're going back to the Modern Vampires of the City sound, but I also think that a lot of people are responding and thinking that way just because it has a very loud siren sound and distortion on a lot of the tracks here. Bear in mind, again, the linchpin that a lot of people thought made Father of the Bride sound like it did was the absence of Rostam Batmanji, and he's not back for this record here as well. It's just Ezra Koenig and kind of the core members of Vampire Weekend there, without Rostam being a part of it. So it feels like an emulation of the sound that was able to be provided on Modern Vampires and a few other tracks before, with kind of that garage rock sort of tone. But it sounds just a little bit less genuine, I think, is the main thing. There are highlights on this record that I really do enjoy. Again, I really enjoyed Classical on another re-listen in the context of the record. The opener, Ice Cream Piano, is actually really fantastic. I love the way that it opens. And I'm also going to give a highlight to The Surfer, one that was a strong contender for the track that I wanted to play here. There's just something about the drums that are on Mary Boone here, and just kind of being a little bit more a simpler track, that really caused me to resonate with it, I think, highly, compared to a lot of the tracks that are on this one here. I think in general, a lot of people that were a part of kind of that like early 2010s indie sort of sound and were following along with it so well really are desiring Vampire Weekend to sound like a specific thing. And I think this is the closest that they've kind of been able to come back to that sound that they had done on Modern Vampires of the City. And I do think this album warrants a little bit more of kind of a critical dissection, because the topics of, you know, kind of like political discourse and such are back in a little bit stronger form, though less present as they were on Father of the Bride, in a kind of a less direct fashion, and kind of dealing with kind of the miasma and monotony, kind of the political sort of situation as it is right now, especially in the United States, and just kind of dealing with it and being able to let things go to be able to move forward. And again, it warrants a little bit more of a kind of deeper discussion. That being said, on kind of a surface listen, I do think that this is a very strong record, though personally I do prefer kind of the highs that were on Father of the Bride as well. But again, in terms of runtime and in terms of like bang for buck, I do think Only God Was Above Us is a stronger record, just because again, you get a lot more of those highs in a shorter time span compared to the lows and the drought that was on Father of the Bride as well, a lot consistently. But again, that was Only God Was Above Us from Vampire Weekend, and I spun you the single that was released before, Mary Boone, off of that one there. All right, everybody, let's take it back to the music now. We're going to kick it on over to another new release. This was released actually last week while I was up in kind of the Okanagan, was unable to record an episode. Sorry about that. Hope you guys had a good Easter. But again, here is off of All I Ever Want Is Everything. This is Blue to Tiger, their cut Disappearing featuring Magdalena Bay. Hope you guys enjoy this one, and I will see you on the other side of this and another track as well. Here we go.
Dancing.
I just took you out of two tracks there back to back with Blue the Tiger and their cut Disappearing featuring Magdalena Bay, and then it was Luella from Kingston, Ontario with their cut Go-Go. So Blue the Tiger is an artist that I've known a little bit about from kind of collaborations and stuff that they've done with other artists and stuff. Most notably, if you've been kind of paying attention to the program, their work with Chromeo in 2022 off of Bluetooth and then Enough For You as well. Bluetooth being a very successful single for them there. Alongside that though, they have their recent release that I decided to give a spin to, All I Ever Want Is Everything. I think overall the record is really consistent. I think it's a really serviceable and really great record. I know I'm describing and kind of, you know, generalized sort of anecdotes and stuff like that and generalized adjectives. But again, it's really fantastic. There's nothing here that kind of made me kind of just turn off to it or anything. The only thing that I would say is that its consistency might be kind of the greatest downfall, because there's a lot of tracks that I was able to kind of enjoy and listen to in the background. But then here and there wasn't really anything that kind of stood out to me, aside from this cut here, obviously, because the featured artist, I was like, hey, look at that. And that was actually, full disclosure, the reason that I heard about this album being released. But aside from that, and then Expensive Money, actually, as well, being a nice little highlight from them. Again, I'm really excited to see what they do later in their career. Again, they've got a few things under their belt and stuff like that here and there, but this would be their debut record, actually, as well. But again, I'm hoping to see a little bit more from Blue the Tiger. They've got more artists and stuff they work with, and maybe also a new release and stuff eventually as well, where they're going in their artistic career. But for a debut record and the stuff that they've already done with several other artists, this is definitely a really good first step into kind of, you know, a release and everything like that as well. If you're looking for more from them, I would recommend spinning All I Ever Want Is Everything from cover to cover. Again, you'll find something new to listen to with Expensive Money, which is a nice kind of difference from kind of the other sort of tracks on here. And again, some other cuts such as Cut Me Down with Mallrat. And I also recommend Dangerous Game. I really like that one, a single from the record actually released previously. I think you'll find something to enjoy there. But again, that is Disappearing featuring Magdalena Bay off of that one, off of All I Ever Want Is Everything from Blue the Tiger. And then I took you over to Go-Go coming to you from Luella. So again, full disclosure, I have multiple ways that I listened and discover new music and such. And one of those has recently been basically fine-tuning my Instagram ad preferences to basically show me when artists put out advertisements for their music, which is pretty fun. And it's not like larger artists, like as I mentioned, the previous Vampire Weekend record, or even like Chromeo when they kind of have their new single Lost and Found. That wasn't kind of one that I found through that. It was just being a fan of theirs. But this one here from Luella would be an example of it, because usually the way that I've done it is it kind of skews towards kind of more local artists, which is great. So I get to kind of connect with the local music scene, or alternatively, it's just artists with a lot less plays compared to people that are a lot larger and can afford larger marketing bucket budgets and stuff like that. That being said, this is coming to you from Luella from Kingston, Ontario. It's their latest release and their latest single released back in March, actually about a week or two ago, off of kind of their own little record label there. Really fantastic track. I love this one. It's fun. Danceable, it's really eclectic and everything. And it's a shame because I'd listened to kind of their previous effort, their EP Luna, released back about 2 years ago in 2022, and it was a little bit slower tracks and such, or more kind of ballads, so nothing kind of that carries the same energy as this one here. Now, they've described this as kind of being a new era for where they're going to be heading into, and again, I'm really excited to see if that's going to be coming forward from Luella there, otherwise known as Olivia Whitfield. But again, hopefully we'll see something a little bit more kind of with new releases and such as well. But again, that was Luella with their cut Go-Go. Alright, we're going to play one more track before we go into kind of a little bit of a break into some events and information going on in the Fraser Valley, but I'm going to take you over now to another new release, released this past Friday, or not this past Friday, but two Fridays ago actually, right before Easter, coming to you on March 29th, 2024. It is the latest Beyoncé record, Cowboy Carter. So a fun thing with kind of the way my program is laid out, usually airing on Mondays, is technically I'm usually able to beat actually the Billboard Hot 100 charting and stuff like that a lot of the time. That being said, this one's cutting it close, because they usually get announced on kind of the Monday and then posted on the Tuesday. So we'll see how this goes and how it kind of flies. But it's undoubtedly that basically this is going to be like a giant album bomb. Maybe the track that I'm picking here will be a little bit lower on kind of the list, but I'm going to tag it as a top 40 hit just in case. So this will be our top 41 for the entire broadcast here today. Overall, I'd say it's an enjoyable listen, and I think that probably it's going to rank there as one of the few Beyoncé projects that I actually am unbiasedly, like impartially a fan of for a lot of it. The thing is I've always been kind of at an arm's distance to the work that Beyonce has put out. I was reading, for instance, back in 2016 when she had released Lemonade, and I read recently the Wikipedia article for it because I wanted to kind of relive the history stuff there. And it's one of the only albums that I've seen on there, at least recent albums for sure, that features a thematic analysis. And I mean, I understand there's a lot of themes and stuff present on a record that I personally just thought was okay. But, you know, for reference, Blonde by Frank Ocean, which Beyonce is even featured on as an uncredited backing vocal in Pink and White, doesn't have a thematic analysis. And I believe that is a way more impactful record. But hey, that's just me. This is part of the problem that I had going into this record, because I came in not with hostility, but more with indifference. And I think that it kind of highlights the fear I had with this record, in that basically, look, if we're going to talk about unreviewable records, I think that this might be one of them, because either you're in the camp that, oh, I'm not a fan of it because of preconceived biases and falling within just genuine racism and prejudice, or you are perceived as that if you do have disagreements with this record. Otherwise, you have to be in support of it because of, you know, the heritage that Beyonce has stemming from Houston and reclamation of this type of predominantly Caucasian sort of ethos that she's taking over, or not taking over, but utilizing, while also working within popular contemporary trends of country coming to form through artists rising such as Morgan Wallen, through Kacey Musgraves gaining greater popularity, etc., predominantly a Caucasian-owned space, with now someone of African-American origin stemming from where these, you know, sounds and stuff came from, reclaiming it in a sort of fashion. It is a complex discussion, is to say the least. It's why when I had finally arrived, and I mean finally, because it's a long record, and talking about that Vampire Weekend record, like, oh boy. When I finally arrived at Amen at the conclusion of it, I was pleasantly surprised to realize that I really liked this one. It wasn't phoned in. It wasn't feeling as though it was just, oh yes, I'm all important and self-grandiose sort of thing. She feels like she's having fun on this record, which is something that was present on Renaissance as well, but multiple tracks on this one more so just give the impression that she's both coming back to her own cultural roots and stuff like that, but at the same time, she's able to kind of play with these sounds and be able to actually enjoy the work that she's making. And not to say that she didn't enjoy anything that she had produced, such as Lemonade or The Carters and stuff like that as well. But I would say that this is the first time that that was conveyed directly to me as someone, again, that doesn't fall in that audience a lot of the time. But it was conveyed in such a way that I was able to have fun and enjoy it as well. There are more serious tracks on here, like Protector and the much lauded over Two Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus, but then tracks like Levi's Jeans, I dare say the polarizing Jolene is also a track that she seems to be having a really good bit of fun with, the lead single Texas Hold'em, even Blackbird, which is allowing, you know, newer kind of artists operating within country of African-American ethnicity, being able to come into it and such, being able to have an enjoyable time and create something and bring something new to the table. And then there's tracks such as Spaghetti with, you know, famed great Linda Martell, as well as Shaboozey alongside Sweet Honey Buckin, which is featuring Shaboozey at the end as well, which is not a country album in the way that she would describe it herself, as saying this is not a country record. This is a Beyonce album. I don't blame people for thinking that this is bloated or that this is their least favorite record that she's put out. And I realize that, again, I'm a weirdo for thinking that this random thing that also had an album name change apparently in the last week and different covers and a lot of, you know, withholding credits, though they're now publicly available, to be probably one of, if not my favorite record. I do still hold in high esteem for the same kind of reasoning of what I've described here, because tracks such as Party, Love on Top, and Run the World feel like, again, she was just in her element and really enjoying the work that she was making when producing that one. And again, it's a lot more pop-centered record compared to this one, which again is playing into popular sort of trends. So I think there's a discussion to be had regarding that and how maybe this was the impression of fun and stuff being given. But overall, it feels genuine and it's really enjoyable. I think it's an enjoyable listen for people to listen to it, whether they're a fan of country music or not. And I think that a lot of people are going to be able to get a lot of this record, more so than when, say, Lemonade, as much as I malign that one, or Renaissance is the better comparison. Renaissance may be for people that don't have an association with, you know, dance music and disco music from the 70s and the cultural background relating to those, and the LGBTQ plus background as well, relating in that sort of ethos, in the same way that, you know, country music stems to a certain demographic as well. By far the most fun that I had listening to this record, aside from maybe in hindsight now, Texas Hold'em, because on the trip I did listen to that a little bit, and my wife showed me a edit of it with the Franklin soundtrack, which is an absolute banger, song of the year, absolutely, shoutouts to Franklin. But I think the most fun that I had on this record, surprisingly, was Alligator Tears. At track 13, nestled pretty much within the center of the runtime for this one. It feels like more kind of country western, like a Fleetwood Mac sort of track, the build and harmonies that she utilizes when kind of going into the chorus of this one here. And just, again, it's not necessarily a nice track. It's very, you know, criticizing and very, like, almost angry, and it has a lot of, like, hostile energy to it. But at the same time, you can kind of feel that same energy of kind of like Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats, where it's just kind of a fun song to sing with friends and everything as well. And even if it hasn't received the kind of commercial reception that a lot of other people are finding with tracks such as Protector or with Two Most Wanted, etc., I'd say that this one is definitely going to stand the time in the track listing as one that people are going to return to and find something to enjoy with. Anyway, I wanted to talk about it here, and I figured this was a good platform to do it as I listened to it over that Penticton trip. I hope you guys enjoy this one. This is Alligator Tears, stylized with two eyes representing the second record, which is pretty interesting, Beyoncé. But again, this is Alligator Tears coming to you from Beyoncé. Hope you guys enjoy this one. Hope you guys enjoyed the record as well. If you didn't, that's all good. I got no hate towards you or anything like that. Everybody has their own personal preferences. I'm not a fan of Lemonade. I thought Blonde was better. I thought The Life of Pablo was a better record. I still kind of think that, to be honest with you. But Cowboy Carter is definitely up there in terms of favorites of my discography. Or not my discography, but my favorites for her discography. And I hope that you at least got something out of the record as well, even if you weren't partial to it. Enjoy. All right, back to the music now. We're going to take you on over to Ghost Coach and their cut Run Down. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. It came out last year, so it's definitely one that I think you're going to get some out of. And we'll take you to another track as well afterwards. Ready? Let's go. Okay, just took you to two tracks there back to back, kicking off again with Ghost Coach and their cut Run Down. That was one that I recently discovered and I'm really enjoying actually as well. Ghost Coach is coming to you from kind of the San Francisco sort of area there. Sound is a connection of the near future and distant past with retro meeting indie rock. They're currently in the process of releasing some singles and stuff from their latest release, Recall, which this one was pulled from, released actually about three or so Fridays ago on March 21st, 2024. And again, that was the first track off of it, the lead single, Run Down, from Ghost Coach. And out of that, I took you over to Gospels with their cut Sleepwalker. This has been a group that I've played previously on the program here, but again, they've been a little bit quiet here or there. They haven't really done too much, unfortunately. But again, Sleepwalkers is a really fantastic track that I hope you guys really got something out of there. If you're looking for more, I would recommend just looking for their debut EP. It seems to be the only one that they've got there. But again, that is Sleepwalkers coming to you from Gospel. Alright, got another new one for you. It's Good Kid with their latest Dance Class off of their latest Good Kid 4, their latest EP. Hope you guys enjoy this one, and then keeping the tunes going afterwards as well, as always. Here we go.
Cry. across the room, but I am trying. Stuck beneath the spinning globe, a familiar hue. Struck by your impression, like all of those next to you. But I will try to stand and make it down the hall. But in the sound, I'm barely here at all. I wanna meet you at a slow dance. I wanna meet you, but it's too soon. I wanna meet you, but I can't speak or dare to cross the room.
Anti-socially distant. It all changed in an instant. Walking down Michigan Ave, lost memories are all I have. Can't trust the news or the weatherman. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Block with Bryson Warden, broadcasting live on frequency 101.7 CIVL-FM, going out to the Fraser Valley and surrounding areas from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus, Stoonian Society building based on the unceded traditional territory of the Stolo people. Just took you out of two tracks there, closing it again with Gun Bay coming to you from Coil. This is another one that I kind of described when I was talking about Luella, a group that I saw just through a little advertising thing there. I decided to take a look at kind of their recent releases and such, and this is one that really stood out to me. I really love the percussion on this one, alongside kind of the lead vocalist being able to kind of come over top of it. But the percussion, especially leading into kind of the chorus and everything there, kind of it's light and sparse, but there's not really sparse, but it's light and airy, and there's a lot of sort of metallic sort of production to it, as opposed to hard-hitting drums or anything like that as well. Again, described as an indie pop rock trio out of Atlanta, we have Henry, who is handling those drums there, Noah, who's trying to do guitar solos, and then Pura, who is doing kind of the vocals on there as well. So again, that was Coil coming to you with their cut, Gun Bay. And after that, it's Ontario-based Good Kid, who has played before that, actually, with their cut Dance Class. This is off of their latest EP, Good Kid 4, which also features Summer, which was another one that we played previously. I won't talk too much about this group, because I talked about them enough in 2023 with their cut No Time to Explain, off of their third EP. But again, hearkening to kind of sounds of, like, Japanese sort of rock and J-rock and stuff like that as well, and just really hard-hitting and fast guitars, maybe even a little bit of kind of math rock or, like, 2000s alternative sort of rock and stuff as well here or there. But again, really fantastic group that I've become a big fan of, and I think that you guys are going to be a fan of them too. If anything, a little detriment is that they're a little bit consistent in their sound, with it kind of being a little bit similar throughout each of the tracks and stuff that I've heard so far. That first wash of listening to No Time to Explain for the first time isn't really happening with these other cuts, but again, still enjoyable, and I think, again, you're going to find something to like with these guys here. And they're Canadian, so how can you go wrong? Again, that is Good Kid with their cut Dance Class, the latest off of their Good Kid 4 EP, released on March 27th, 2024. And with that, everyone, we are at the close of our broadcast for today, but to close us out, we are going to bring it home with the Swollen Members with Mad Child and Prevail alongside Mocha Only. It's their cut, Bring It Home, released all the way back in kind of the early 2000s and such as well. Have a great day, everybody, and I will see you guys next week for another episode of our broadcast. I'm not taking a week off, I promise. It'll be on April 15th, 2024, in the throes of the final exam period. So again, have a great day, you guys. And take care as you're bringing it home. Da 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 da. Swollen, always bring it home. Swollen, if we do it up where we belong. And Mocha Only, always brings it home. Let's do it. Foundation, brick by brick, eye for an eye, keep your eyes on this, cause shadows move in the strangest forms, a music in your ear is like a dangerous storm, and when we perform, it's a whole new arena, we raise the stakes while you follow the leader, this song's a heater, long live the speaker, S&M the name explains the main feature, I'm an abnormal creature with power and action, feature presentation plus a common attraction, Asians, Iranians, all same opinion, Indians, blacks and whites and East Indians, Latins, draped in lace and satin, North Van to Venice, T-Dot to Manhattan, all get the picture, stop fighting, biting, bad child's exciting, strike a white lightning, swollen, always brings it home, swollen, always brings it, we do it, up where we belong, and Mocha Only, always brings it home, Mocha Only bring it, let's do it, up and keep it on, where would we be in the world? We never did our thing. Please believe me, it's my world. Everybody hear me say that. If you never heard of us, I'm sorry you ain't hip. There's another chance because we always come equipped. Mocha love the ladies and the ladies love it. Smoke. Ain't no need to argue because I'm just so fucking dope. Take it with a grain of salt or maybe with your drink. Thank the Swollen Members because they keep the party crank. Like dang, dicky, dicky, dang, dicky, dang, dang. Because we bring it home, put it on, make it fast. Yeah. I stay low to the ground so I can keep my balance. The element of surprise, the advantage of silence. And all you root beer motherfuckers floating around, I pop your top, you must be watered down. No fears, no glowing lights and showbiz. Young kids, I'll show you whose show it is. Swollen Members hit hard like Heartbreak Ridge. I put my heart into this, no alternative.
positive.
That's affirmative. We burn with passion, smashing, flashing on kids too concerned with fashion. Handling my business, we last longest. My whole Congress, strongest King Kongers. Sledgehammer, grammar, thunderbolt, yo. Mad child, what you got under your coat? Adrenaline pumping, I'm swinging an axe. Swollen members, bring it home, I'm focusing on the tracks. Come on.
Swollen, always.